Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know the Ten Commandments. Hopefully you know them very well as part of your regular review of the small catechism. But the Ten Commandments are not exhaustive. God commands other things in His holy word. Jesus commands His disciples other things, many of which are found in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. In the Gospel before us today, Matthew chapter 7, we find the final command that Jesus gives to His disciples there in that famous sermon. He commands His disciples, after telling them in the rest of the sermon all that is good and right, He commands them with regard to all that will be wrong in the preaching that would take place for the rest of this earthly existence, commands them this command: beware of false prophets. Now, to us who are Lutherans, especially traditional and confessional Lutherans, this command is rather well known. And we have evaluated and judged the confessions of the Lutheran Church, which includes the Christian creeds of the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed, to be true and not false teaching. And you have so far determined that your pastor is not a false prophet, but a prophet who has been genuinely sent by God and who tells you the truth. But to many, I dare say to most Christians, this command of Jesus to beware of false prophets isn't even on the radar. And yet, it's a command like any other, a command from your Lord to whom you owe obedience, and the more urgent, because if you fail to keep this command of the Lord, you put your eternal soul in jeopardy, because the commandment is for your own good. So think carefully on what Jesus commands you today in the gospel and don't neglect it. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You know, I think for a lot of people who go around looking for a church to call their own, it's not false prophets they're watching out for, just as it's not the true doctrine that they're desperately searching for. In many or most cases, it's usually other things, earthly things, a preacher's style, an atmosphere, a kind of music, or just a right fit that makes them feel good, or they avoid a bad fit that makes them feel bad. But that's not keeping Jesus' command at all. It's actually just another way of living according to the flesh. Jesus commands, beware of false prophets. Why? What makes them so dangerous? It's that they dress up like sheep, like innocent, reliable Christian preachers, but end up tearing people's souls apart, tearing them away from Christ with their false teaching. Now, what is false teaching? Well, it's any teaching that doesn't agree with the whole Word of God. When preachers tell you things about God that aren't true, or things about His commandments that aren't true, when they neglect some of His commandments, or turn them, or twist them, or modernize them to make things acceptable now that were never acceptable in God's words, when they don't tell the truth about sin, or when they don't tell the truth about God's plan of salvation, or about the sacraments God has instituted, or about the church and its ministry, or about the Christian life, how Christians are to do, as St. Paul said in today's epistle, to put to death the deeds of the body and to live according to the Spirit. Now, the preacher may be very nice, His sermons may be very engaging, and the church itself may be very welcoming and fun and dynamic. But Jesus commands his disciples to look past all those things and to compare the teaching of the teacher with the Word of God. Now, if you're not willing to do that, to take the time and to put in the effort necessary, then you are disobeying the voice of the one whom you call Lord, and that will go very badly for you. But people say it all comes down to a matter of interpretation, doesn't it? Who's to say who's right and who's wrong in all the denominations out there? We can't actually know who's a false prophet and who isn't, can we? But Jesus says that you can. By their fruits, you will know them. You will know them, he says. You don't think he's lying to you, do you? Now, sure, it will take effort. It will take actually examining the preacher's fruit, but with the Holy Spirit's help, with earnest prayer and study of God's Word, you can do it. And when you do, Jesus says, you will know the false prophet. Do people gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. And what are the fruits that a prophet bears? First of all, it's his doctrine, his teaching. A prophet is someone who claims to speak for God, who claims to be teaching you the truth, the right way, God's way, the way of salvation. You have to look at his teaching as a whole, not just this or that thing he says. Every preacher who claims to be Christian will and must say that Christ is Lord. That's true. But what else does he teach? And what does he even mean by that statement? Does he teach in line with the ancient Christian creeds, or has he gone off on his own? Does he teach a six-day creation according to God's word, or does he teach millions of years, molecules to man, evolution? Does he teach that all peoples are sinners and are justified solely by faith in Christ, as he should? Or does he minimize sin, or tolerate sin, or teach justification by works, or by faith plus works, or not by faith at all? Does he teach baptism as a washing of regeneration, that's rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, or baptism as a sign of a person's own decision to follow Christ? Does he teach the real presence of the Lord's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, or does he teach that Christ's body and blood are not truly received by the communicants, etc.? The list goes on. And the only way to fulfill Christ's command is to know his word well and to evaluate the teachings of a pastor and of a church that he shepherds and of the church body to which he willingly belongs, if he belongs to one. But a preacher's doctrine isn't the only fruit that he bears. His life, his behavior is also part of his fruit, and you have to evaluate that too. That doesn't mean expecting him to be sinless. As St. John writes, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But you should expect him to be blameless, as St. Paul writes to Timothy, that a bishop or an overseer must be. Blameless means that he can't be accused of grave public sin or vice. He can't justly be accused of having a shady or dishonest character. A pastor who regularly or impenitently sets a bad example for believers is showing you that his fruit is rotten. A pastor who preaches the truth but then backs away from it in how he acts when challenged, or who won't stand up for it, is showing you that his fruit is bad. Personality flaws can be overlooked in love or corrected in love if necessary. That's not necessarily bad fruit. Actual sins against God's commandments, though, must be addressed. And where there is no repentance, again, he's showing you his fruit, that it is bad and not good. Now, there is such a thing as being too critical, overly critical of every word a pastor says or writes, every decision, every action, every interaction. And we Lutherans may be especially susceptible to that extreme. Beware isn't the only thing Jesus said to do. He also said to love, honor, and submit to our spiritual overseers, and all the more once we've determined that they are good trees bearing good fruit. But along with that is the constant command to beware. It is the Christian's duty to evaluate the preacher's fruit, his doctrine and life, and not just once, but all the time. And to beware of the one whose fruit is bad, because that preacher is not leading you closer to Jesus, but farther away from him. That preacher whose fruit is bad is a bad tree that Jesus says will be cut down in the end and cast into the fire, and you don't want to be cast down with him. The last part of today's gospel makes the necessity of this bewaring all the more urgent. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, in your name did we not prophesy? And in your name did we not cast out demons? And in your name did we not perform many miracles? And then I will confess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So calling oneself a Christian preacher, or for that matter, calling oneself a Christian, is not a guarantee of being allowed into Christ's kingdom at the end. Even prophesying, even casting out demons, even performing miracles is no guarantee that a person was a genuine preacher sent by Christ, or that a person was a genuine Christian at all. What is the guarantee, then, that one will not hear those terrible words from the Lord on the last day, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness? St. Paul said it in today's epistle, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit of God means beginning with repentance and faith in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Not because you've earned it, but because Christ earned it for you by his righteous life lived in your place, and by his innocent death suffered in your place. But being led by the Spirit continues with daily contrition and repentance, putting to death the deeds of the body, being determined not to live in sin any longer, but to live for God, to live a life of love. That's where the Spirit of God always leads. The Spirit leads you to prayer, too. And of course, the Spirit leads you always to God's Word, which he himself inspired, after all, and by which he continues to guide the people of God through all the murkiness and the darkness of all the false prophets and false teachers of this world to see the light of Christ, our Redeemer. The Word of God is not called the sword of the Spirit for nothing. Know it, treasure it, and use it to carry out Christ's warning and command to beware of false prophets and to recognize those who are true. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.